Blog Talk Radio. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Draw all men unto him. So it is time for girls and boys, men and women, to be drawn unto the Most High God. I want you to know today that we're here to give you the word of God. We're here to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save our souls. I am your host and the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We lift your name up high. God, we give you all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor. Lord, today, God, look upon thy people in every state and every city, Father, in the United States of America, and those that are on foreign soil. God, today, God, cause souls to be saved, lives to be changed. God, those that have been given a bad report, I pray, God, even now that report, God, of you that they are healed, Lord God, will be manifested. God, I pray healing, God, that every infirmity, every disease, Lord God, that try, Father God, to come upon your people. Lord, I speak healing, God, in the name of Jesus. I send the word of healing, God, to the bodies, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, God, touch mind, body, soul, and spirit. And for this, God, we will forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, you're listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, and we want you to know that God is still in control. In case you have forgotten, in case you don't know that God, he is still in control. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the newspaper says, no matter what the television network is saying to you, you got to know that God, he is God, and that he is God all by himself. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, he does have all power in his hand, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. What is it that you need today? What is it that you need God to do for you today? I want you to know we need to just believe on his word. Believe God for what he said. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tip of his word will fail. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God's word today and every day, and I will stand upon his promises, the truth that is in this word. But we're coming from today, the Old Testament, and we're going to be teaching and preaching today from that 91st Psalm. The 91st Psalm, and that is in the Old Testament. You know, we got the New Testament, we have the Old Testament. The word that's in the Old Testament is still vibrant today. God is showing us how the men and women, how they live, and the laws and the judgment and his word there in the Old Testament, and the word of God is still. And so it brings us comfort, it encourages us, it does so much to the inner man. So we get ready to go to this book of Psalms, and that is spelled P-S-A-L-M, just in case you want the correct spelling of it. And if I would use as a topic today, I would use God is a refuge and a fortress. Let's begin at that first verse. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of a fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under the wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the peasant that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And we're just going to stop there as we begin to go through God's word, and we'll come back and we'll finish the rest of part of the scripture. And when we began to look at the word of God, we said that that God is our refuge, and he is our fortress. He is the one that we can depend on, one that we can call on, one that we can have comfort in, one that we can trust in. He is one that will give us that security. We need to know that he is there, that he will never leave you, and that he will never forsake you. You have to know, no matter what circumstances that you are facing on today, you have to know that God is your security. He will keep you from hurt, harm, and danger. We have to trust in the Lord our God. And we have to know that he is faithful to us. See, that is the confidence that we have in him, no matter what, that God is faithful, no matter what the economy may dictate. God is faithful to us. Do you not remember what David said? David said, I have been young, but now I am old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So God is faithful. David knew that God was faithful and that God will be faithful unto him. Remember in the word of God in Chronicles, when we see how the Ziklag, how they had come and how they had burned Ziklag and have taken David's wives and taken the other men's children and their wives, and they had burned it, and they had taken and burned their city, the place where they were. Do you not know that they had to trust God and to know that God was with them? Are you saying that they didn't shed tears? Are you saying that they just took it at face value? I'm saying that even through their crying and all the feelings that they had encountered because of not having their children and their wives there, yet they still had to trust God and knew that God was faithful. Sometimes we go through things in our life and we forget that God is faithful. We forget that he is our protector. And letting you know that even after all that had happened to David and his men, and yet they had to know that God was God. David had to come to himself even after crying to know that, even when he said, remember he said in that in the word of God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We got to know that God is our shepherd. We have to know that God is faithful. We got to know that we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And the word of God says that he will direct our path. Yes, he is our protector. And even though the enemy had came in and taken their children and take and burn things, yet God did not allow them to kill any one of their children and their wives. And they were able to get back so much more than they had. Yes, they recovered all. And somebody needs to know today that God will recover all that you have gone through. God will give you double for the things that you have gone through. Don't you remember Job, the things that he encountered, things that he went through? You have to remember that it is God. It is God, and he is God all by himself. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You have to know that you dwell in that secret place, that you know where God is, and you are under his protection, that you are the ones that are trusting and believing God. I'm not talking about any CEO, administrator. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about the director. I'm not talking about any other person. I'm not talking about the president of the United States of America, or the vice president. I am talking about the Jehovah Jireh. I'm talking about the God Almighty, the God that is mighty in battle, the God that is a healer and a deliverer. In that second verse, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That's what David said. He said, I will say of the Lord. You have to make this thing personal. You have to make this thing that you are the one that knows that God is your refuge. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. You know, if you had was in a place and you needed a place to hide and you needed a place for protection, God is that, and he is more. He said he is my fortress. He is my God. You know, my God. You got to know he is mine. You got to make it perfect. You got to know that God is your God. Why? Because you trust in him. Because you believe in him. Because you have asked him to come into your life. And you are now belong to him. You said yes to his will and yes to his way. Yes, you are the one that confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and God has saved you. And you trusted God because you're reading the word. You're studying the word of God. You're walking in the word. The word of God is abiding in you. Remember the word of God said, he abide in me and my word abide in you that you can ask what you will. You know, sometimes we're going to go through things in our lives. You know, the word of God let us know, even as Christ suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to go through some things in your life, but yet you are not going alone. You have the Almighty God that is consistently with you. Even when you don't see an evidence that he is with you, you have to walk in faith and know that he is with you. You may say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you got to believe that God, he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You remember Mary and Martha? Remember how they had sent for Jesus? And their brother was sick. And Jesus didn't come when they sent for him. And he decided that he's going to wait. And he didn't go. And then Lazarus died. And then he said, he's going to see him. Then his disciples and him say, they're going to see him. But he had died. And after they had anointed him and they put him away, Jesus come, Mary and Martha was there, and they were being consoled by their friends and relatives and whatnot. But Mary said, remember, she said, if you would have been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Oh, my God. If you would have been here, if you would have been there, her brother would not have died. Sometimes we look at things as a lost case. We look at things that that's the end of it. Nothing can happen of this any longer because this even as what she was saying, that her brother Lazarus was dead. And not only dead, but he had been dead for 4 days. So she's looking at this as a hopeless situation. But God say, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember he told the Israelites to tell them that I am, that I am? See, you have to know that he is that great I am. And you have to know when you read in the Word of God how he brought Lazarus back to life. Even after he had been dead 4 days, even after his heart had stopped beating, blood is not circulating no longer in his body. Eyes are not moving. Brain is not stimulated. Martha thought he began to sing by now. But that was not something that God was concerned about because he knew what he came to do. And he intentionally waited until he was dead that he would be able to let you know and for me to know and for those that are about to know that he is the resurrection and the life. And the word of God says in that second verse, he says, I will tell the Lord he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and him will I trust in the time of trouble, in the time of toil, in the time of temptation. I will be with you. He shall cover thee. He shall cover thee with his feather. Don't you know, even in the natural, to know that when one is covered, even when you can imagine you're need to be covered, you're in maybe lying even in your bed, and you take that warm blanket or whatever it is, it gives you that comfort that you need at that time. But you know what? God is even greater than any that type of comforter or anything that can cover you. He covers you in so many ways. He covers you when you're not in the bed. He covers you when you're in your vehicle. He covers you when you're at work, at church. He covers you in so many ways. He covers your mind, that the enemy will not take your mind, that he will cause you to be in your right mind. He covers you that the blood is still circulating in your body. It has not stopped, but it's still circulating. The respiratory system is still intact. You know, you're able to breathe. Oh, my God. You're able to be able to talk and to see. You know, sometimes we take so many things for granted. But when I think about this man in the Word of God that was blind from his birth. And I like to talk about that because of the fact it shows the greatness of God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. He is great. We serve a great God. I like to talk about this man because of the fact that he could not see. He was blind from his mother's womb. Never did see the face of his mother or father. Couldn't see the people around him. He could hear the voices, but could not see. Could not see shapes and colors and buildings and things all around about him. The sun and the moon, he could not see. But you know what? There was a time that in God's time, that he wanted to show his glory, that he wanted to show who he was and who he is. And he was able to make this man that was blind from his mother's womb, he was able to make him to see. What power, what greatness that we see God moving. And the thing about it is that God is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. You know, you may be in a hospital, and you may be listening to this broadcast. I want you to know today that whatever sickness that you may have been experiencing, know that God, he is God. Even as he healed me, he is able to heal you. He brought Lazarus back to life. He is able to give you life and give it more abundantly. There is nothing too hard for God to do. You need God to protect you. I'm saying to you this morning that he is our protector. He will deliver thee from the snares of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. No matter what, he will deliver you. I already told you and let you know that when he said he will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to abide in the shadows of the Almighty, it will let you know that you can remain. To remain, to be able to live, to be able to exist. He is your dwelling place. He dwells in a secret place. If you can just know that you can be in that secret place with God, you need to be covered. You need that secret place. You need that hiding place. Sometimes we need to be secluded. We don't know what to do and where to go, but to just know that I'm under the shadow, I'm under the shelter, I'm under his protection, and I don't have to be afraid, that is the greatest experience, the greatest thing that we can know within ourselves, that our God is with us. He is our refuge. He is our protection. He is our shelter from danger, from hardship. Are you going through hardship? Are you going through danger? A dangerous situation? He is your protector. He is your source of help. He will bring relief. He will bring you comfort in the time of trouble. Just remember that. He is your fortress. He is fortified. Nothing can penetrate through him. Sometimes you may think, well, I'm in this big building that I mentioned to you. And when I broadcast, you know, sometimes there have been tornadoes and hurricanes and things of this sort and matter that you have been told to go to this shelter, go to this building, go to this place and for your protection. But then you think in your mind, you know, I moved from my home. I know that it probably is not stable. Here they're sending me to a place for a shelter where they think that I'll have more safety and be more secure. But deep down in your heart, you're thinking, is this place that they're sending me? Is it going to protect me? Is it going to protect my children? You can rely on God. You can rely on God to shield you and to protect you. You know, I love that scripture. It says, our Father, which who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thou art the kingdom and the power and the glory. So when we can pray, God gave us that prayer to pray, to show us how to start praying, and to show us how to believe God. And then as we get stronger and stronger, we begin to pray that prayer of faith, begin to pray even more, and believing God to protect us and shield us, to shield our family, to shield those that are so close, our mates. And God is able to do this, to shield our children, but take care of us. He will take care of his children as he took care of David. You know, I think about David when he was fighting that lion and the bear. You know, he took care of David. You know that this young boy, this young man came against a bear and a lion. He had confidence in God to believe God that everything was going to be all right. Even when he thought I went against Goliath, that nobody, no one was able in order to overcome him, or to actually win the battle against him. But David knew that the battle did not belong to him, but the battle belonged to God. And God used David to kill this Goliath, this giant. There are some giants in your space today. There are some giants in your way today that you have to believe God and stand on God's word, no matter how tall they are. Goliath was tall. He was strong. He had his armor on. And Saul even tried to get David to put on this armor that he hadn't even had tried before. But yet he knew that he didn't need that. Thank you, Saul, for offering me, but I don't need that. All I need is to be directed by God. So he knew the strategy. God had given him the strategy to take down his enemy and the enemy of the people. Our prayer will bridge the gap between heaven and earth. We need to pray. We need to seek the face of God for wisdom, for knowledge, and understanding. Look at here. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust his trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. We need a shield. We need a buckler. God is that shield. He is our buckler. Oh, my God. What else do we need? If we got God on our side, what else do we need to come against the enemy? He said, thou shalt not be afraid, listen, for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that fly by day. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. No matter how you may see them, you may see these 1,000 people, 1,000 things coming after you. 1,000 shall fall. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and then 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It's not going to touch thee. It's not going to consume thee. It's not going to destroy thee. You have to know it. No matter what. No matter what the situation is, it is. God says, ask, and it shall be given. He tells us to make our request known before him. What is your request? What are you believing God for? What are you standing on God's word for? You have to believe that God is able to do this. No matter what, no matter what the natural thing dictates to you. Remember how Sarah was barren, couldn't even have any kids, and couldn't have any children, didn't have any children, Abraham. But the question is asked, is there anything too hard for God? Hannah? wanted a child, and she didn't just want any child. She wanted a male child. You know, of course that she'd have had a child, should have been grateful for, but her request that she have this male child. She asked God, she prayed, and God answered her prayer. In that ninth verse, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh by thy dwelling. We don't have to worry about pestilence, which is a deadly could be a virus or epidemic type disease. You remember a long time ago they talked about the demonic plague, which is harmful and which is destructive. You don't have to worry about the snares of the flowers. When we talk about, even when we talk about early about the snares, it's just like a fowl that a small animal that is put into a trap. They're trying to, the trap is a trap, the snare, to put them into that snare in order to kill him, to catch him. We don't have to be concerned about that. Because usually if they put a trap, it's not a trap, they usually try to catch rats and all of these things and mouses and things like that. It'll break their neck and get on there to come down when they get into to get the cheese, and it would get them and spray it, and it was just like a noose around their neck and just broke it a part of that pestilence, it would of that animal. So we have to know that God is with us, no matter what. Yes, he is a shield. He is our armor, just like we put on the whole armor of God. Have you put your armor on today? Have you put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness? Have you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? You know, all of these things will protect you. God is our God. He is our protector. The Lord is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. You got to know that he is your God. He is your rock. Anything that you need, he is there for you. You just have to believe and know that he is the one that you're counting on and that you're the one that believing in him. You're not believing in man, but you are believing and God. That's where our comfort and that's where our protection is. And that's where our trust should be in the Almighty God. In that 10th verse again, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. It's like an epidemic. It's a disease that can cause high mortality. I believe that even in areas of a city that they have an HIV epidemic. And we have to cover ourselves under the blood. There is a warning, and there is a epidemic of this, of TB. And so, therefore, we're saying that God will cover you. You pray, you ask God to cover you. He will cover you. This is what we're talking about. He'll cover you. He'll cause you to be protected. And if any reason that you have been touched for any reason by the TB, tuberculosis, God is a healer. He is a deliverer. He will heal you. You just have to have a faith in God to believe, because throughout the message today, I told you what God has done. I told you what God, he will do. Sometimes you're confronting danger and don't even know it. Just like many of the people that was surrounded or come in contact with people with certain diseases and not even knowing that that person is spreading disease or death in front of you. But we can believe God. Look what the Word of God says. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. What is his name? His name is Jesus. Don't let nobody keep you from saying Jesus. Do you not know that there's power in the name of Jesus? Don't back down when people try to keep you from saying that is your weapon, Jesus. He is your deliverer. He is your savior. He's your Lord. That is his name. The Bible says the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. So you have to know the name of Jesus. You have to know who he is, and that there is power in his name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. When you call upon me, you have to know that he will answer. He said, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? We have had a word from the Lord. I don't know when you had your last meal. Was it on yesterday morning? Or did you have lunch or dinner? But I don't know what you were served. But I believe that God has given you a meal today that was above any meal that you had on yesterday. Because he has given you his word. He has given you revelation of him. He's given you the power of the Most High God. So at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as you allowed me to preach your word today, I pray, God, that every hearer will hear the word of the Lord. And God, that they will believe you as being their God, as being one that is able to save and to deliver, one that is able to be their rescue and their fortress, one that's able to give them security, God. Father, I ask you, God, to do it even now. Whatever they may be going through, whatever trial that they've been going through, God, whatever situation it may be that they may be facing, Lord, cause healing to be manifested. And God, if any that are not saved, I pray, God, that you save them right now. Father, you said if we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead, God, you said that they shall be saved. So, Lord, ask me, God, to save, deliver, and to make free in Jesus' name. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary. Please tune in on Wednesday again as you see and hear the power of God being manifested. God bless you.